Which number do you have? Number two. Okay, so let's sing number two here. What's number two? How about we sing one verse of number two? Come, tis Jesus gently calling. Had one too. Which one did you want? Number 10. Number 10. Which is number 10? Okay, so let's sing. Let's sing the first verse and the chorus of number 10. There is a Savior on high in the Lord. The second hymn we sang, where the Lord Jesus is saying, come, come. I wonder if every one of these boys and girls have heard the Lord Jesus saying, come. You heard that? You know, it's a good thing if we hear the Lord Jesus saying, come. It's a good thing. You know, my dad, just before he passed away, the last thing he said to me, as I held his hand before he took his last breaths, he said, Dave, read the Word of God with your ears. Read the Word of God with your ears. You know, if we do that, we'll hear the Lord Jesus' voice. So we've just sung these two hymns. We've sung three hymns. One about building upon the rock. You know, if we look at Luke's gospel, it says about the wise man there, he dug deep before he built on the rock. That's a good thing for all of us. Well, we're just going to ask the Lord for his help now before maybe we sing another one. Let's just be quiet and we'll ask the Lord Jesus for his help. Our God and our Father, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're so thankful that so many of us here know Thee as Father and know Thy blessed Son as our Savior. And we would particularly ask this morning, our God, for blessing upon these little ones. Some of them perhaps have come to Thee, but perhaps some have not. And we just would pray for Thy blessing upon Thy precious word this morning. We'd ask these things, our God, as we give thanks in the worthy and the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I wonder if someone has one from the back page. Someone have one from the back page? Which number? Number 46. Okay, so let's sing number 46. Glad Tidings. You know, I like that hymn. Glad tidings. Those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus, you know, we have glad tidings.
We do.
It's always an exercise to me to get up in the morning and to ask the Lord, Lord, who am I going to bump into today that needs me to tell them glad tidings? I do that every day. You know, I do that when the phone rings. I ask the Lord just before I pick it up, Lord, who is this today? Maybe I'm going to get encouragement from, or maybe I need to encourage. So, you know, when I left to come here, I got in the car, and I looked at the GPS, and it said 13 hours and 42 minutes. So that's how long it takes to get here. So I asked the Lord, I said, 13 hours and 42 minutes. I wonder how many people I'm going to come into contact with between Rideau Ferry and Lawrenceville that need the glad tidings. I didn't know. You never know. So I get in the car and I start to drive, and the first person I come in contact with is the border guard. Well, I don't usually preach the gospel at the border guards, so we went without any event there, and I kept on going. And the next person I came in contact with was a toll booth, a man at a toll booth. And he wasn't collecting money, he was giving these tickets out, and I would pay the money the next time. So he gave me the ticket, and I looked up at him, and I said, you know, I'm a happy man. I know Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And he looked at me, and he said, well, I don't, and I hope it works for you. And he slammed the window right by my face. Wow. I'm not sure what he told his wife that night about this kook that he saw in the window. So anyway, I started to drive, and the next person I came in contact with, I had to give this tick that he gave me into the phone booth, into the toll booth. So the person rolls down a window and looks at me and tells me I have to pay them $3.15. I looked at him, and I said, you know, I'm a happy man. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. He looked, shook his head, and he slammed the window. Wow. So on we go again, and we go probably another 40 minutes, and we come to another toll booth. And there's a lady there at the window. I thought, you know, it says, those that, sometimes we get discouraged. We need not to be discouraged. It says, those that sow sparingly are going to reap sparingly. Those that sow bountifully are going to reap bountifully. So I looked up at the window, and after I got another ticket, and I said to the lady there, I said, I'm a happy man. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And you know, her face just lit up, and she says, I do too. Oh, what a happy moment that was for me. It made my day. Just to drive away and see what a happy, smiling face she had as she came in contact. You know, we just had a minute there with each other, and we were both really encouraged. Well, you know, we have glad tidings, don't we? Let's sing this one about glad tidings to tell. Number 46. Glad tidings. Maybe we'll sing another one later. I was wondering what to look at today. In fact, I was talking to my wife an hour ago. And she said, so Dave, do you know what you're going to speak about? And I said, well, no, I don't actually. Just pray that I'll have something on the way here. Well, you know, I thought I'd look at something here in Numbers 33, just for a moment. We were looking a little bit at the encampments yesterday, and I thought maybe we'd just look for a minute at one of them. At one of them, in Numbers 33, if you have a Bible, it says there in Numbers 33, And verse 7, it says, they removed from Etham and turned again unto Ahiroth, which is before Baal Zephon, and they pitched before Migdol. You know, that particular encampment we find back in the book of Exodus, and I'd like to look at it for a minute. In Exodus chapter 14. Chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth. You know, the children of Israel had been in Egypt, and they'd had a hard time there. There were taskmasters that had big whips that were whipping them, and they were having a hard time. But, you know, they pulled out of there, and they left. And they came, and the Lord had them come to this place called Pi-Hahiroth. But you know what it says there? It says the Lord told them to turn, to turn. You know, sometimes the Lord has us make a turn in our lives. You know, when I used to have children the age of you folks, we'd be traveling sometimes, and I'd be driving along, and my wife would say, you know, I think we were supposed to turn back there. And I'd usually say, no, I know the way. And, you know, we'd be driving along a little bit, and pretty soon I'd hear the children in the back say, I think Dad's lost. He's starting to drive fast. You know, and sometimes we have to make turns in our life. Sometimes we have to make turns in our life. You know, I think every one of us has to make a turn if we're going on a road that leads to destruction. The Lord would have us to make a turn and to pass by the cross. That's what the Lord Jesus would have us to do. That's a good turn for all of us, a very good turn. I wonder here if the boys and girls here, if you have asked the Lord Jesus, if you've gone by the cross and you've asked the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away. You know, I did that when I was a little boy. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus washed all my sins away in his precious blood. Well, maybe there's someone here and you haven't made that turn. Well, we trust that you would make that turn today. You know, this was a hard time for the children of Israel because they came to this place. They were camping by Pi-Hahiroth, and there was mountains off on the side here, and there was mountains over here, and there was a sea in front of them, and there was the Egyptians, and they were coming, and they were coming to get them, and they had nowhere to go. You know, sometimes we look at the storybooks and we see the stories, and sometimes the way the Lord did things is not exactly the way we see them in the storybooks. You know, we see Moses and how he puts his rod over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea opened up, and we see these two walls of water, and the children of Israel go through. It didn't exactly happen that way. It didn't exactly happen that way. Let's look and see. Notice what it says in verse 13, it says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord, in the 14th verse, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea. And then down in verse 21, notice what it says. It says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. It took all night for this water to go apart. You know, sometimes the Lord puts us in situations and we just wish the Lord would hurry up a little bit. Here the people of God, they were in front of this sea, and behind them the Egyptians are getting closer, and the sea starts to open up, and it's just going so slowly. Just so slowly. And sometimes that happens in our life, doesn't it? We just wish the Lord would hurry up. And you know, but finally the sea opened up. And they went through the sea, and the sea closed on top of the Egyptians, and they all died. The Lord saved the children of Israel. He saved them all. Isn't that marvelous? You know, the Lord Jesus has saved most of the people here, probably. Saved our souls. I wonder if there's someone here, you don't know the Lord Jesus. Oh, that you would come to the Lord Jesus today. I met a man just a short while ago. Actually, I told a story last night about standing in the washroom with a man at an airport. You know, I left that airport and I went to the next airport, which was Charlotte. I went into another washroom there. And as I was going out, a man was cleaning the washroom and he said to me, "Sir, God bless you." And I was walking out and I stopped and I turned back and I said, "God bless you." I said, you just don't happen to know him, do you?" He said, "Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And you know, we had a happy time together and we shared together for a couple of minutes. And I was running for a plane, and I said, "Well, you know, brother, I'm probably not going to see you again until the glory." And he said, "Probably right, but you know what? We're going to meet there, and we're going to remember this time." You know, the Lord bumps people into our lives on a daily basis, and perhaps we'll never see them again. Oh, we need to be a testimony to them of some sort. So you boys and girls that know the Lord Jesus, you need to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus. You need to let your light shine. How about we sing that one? It's not in this little paper. I'm going to let it shine. Do you know that little one? I'm going to let it shine. How does it start? What's the first verse? Thank you. "This is the light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. Well, here in Exodus chapter 14, we read in verse 21, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." You know, that was a marvelous time in the history of the people of God, to have the sea close and to realize that they were safe from all the Egyptians. They were safe. You know, that was the start of a long journey. You know, boys and girls, you're all starting on a journey. There's some old people here, and they're coming to the end of their journey. But you're just starting your journey. You know, you don't want to do that journey without the Lord Jesus. You don't want to take the journey through this life without the Lord Jesus. People that have done that and have come to the end of their lives and then come to the Lord Jesus, they look back. It's been a sad, hard journey. They're thankful to come to the Lord Jesus when they're older. But oh, how marvelous to come to the Lord Jesus when you're young. When you're young. And if the Lord leaves us here, you have your life before you to let your light shine, to be a testimony for Him. Oh, we trust each one of you little ones would come to the Lord Jesus. Well, maybe someone has another one from the back page here that we could sing before we commend ourselves to the Lord. Who has one back here? Do you have one? Which one do you have? "Jesus Loves Me." Okay, let's sing "Jesus Loves Me." It's number 40. Let's sing the whole hymn. "Jesus Loves Me, This I..." Jesus loves us. We've just been singing here. He wants to hold us in his arm, keeps me safe from every harm. You know, we have something that's happening at our house right now that's sort of interesting. One of my boys, he has some chickens, and they lay some eggs, and actually the ones that are the most meaningful to them, they've never laid an egg in their life. But we have a chicken, a hen, a little hen. And upstairs in our house, we don't have as many kids in the house anymore, but one of the bedrooms, two of the bedrooms are occupied. My daughter has one bedroom. My son has another bedroom. The third bedroom has a hen in it. It's got a hen in it. Hopefully it's short term. But this winter, we had some really, really cold days. And this was a prize small hen that my son bought. He bought a rooster and two hens, and a weasel got the rooster, and a weasel got the hen, and he was really wanting this hen. He bought it for special breeding purposes. It's in the hen house. We had some really cold days, and all the hens and the roosters, they get up at night and they perch up on the perches. But this one was a little bit too young to be able to get up there. And so on those really, really cold nights, it froze both its feet. And its feet fell off. So now, it walks along on these two little pegs. And it's convalescing in our upstairs. But you know, my son has, this thing will probably never lay an egg in its life, but just because of his heart, he's been looking after this chicken, and he's been feeding it by hand, and he's been looking after it. And you know, when the chicken, we can go into that bedroom, and the chicken gets out of the box, and it immediately goes right to him. It won't go to me, it won't go to my wife, it won't go to any of the others. It'll go right to my son, because it knows that there's someone that's really going to take care of it. And I don't know how long this chicken will last, but on these two little pegs, there's a real bond there. And that chicken knows, really knows, that there's someone that cares for him. You know, we've just been singing about the Lord Jesus and how he tenderly cares for us. He does that. He really does that. But even those here who do not know the Lord Jesus, oh, he loves you and he wants you to come to him. May each one of us experience his care. Let's just ask the Lord to bless his word this morning. Our God and our Father, we're So thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for thy care over us. We're thankful for these little ones. We think of God, our God, of how so many of us here have come to thee at various times in our life. Some of us, when we were the same age as these little ones in the front row, we would pray for them, our God, in a special way. Those that know thee, that they might be a shining light, and those that don't, they might realize thy care and thy love for them. We just would ask our God for thy blessing, and we'd ask it giving thanks in the worthy and the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.